Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to today's Multiple Sclerosis Teleconference. All parties are currently in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, a question-and-answer session will be conducted at the moderator's discretion. At that time, if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, please press seven only once on your touch-tone keypad. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Suzanne Doran.
Good evening. Thank you, and I welcome everyone to the teleconference for MS Care. I know that many people are expecting Jennifer Smirka to talk on behalf of the society. However, something unexpected came up for her today, so therefore I am sitting in and will share some information about MS Care. It was interesting when I was asked if I would be her substitute, I didn't have any hesitation to do so. The only thing I wasn't sure about was where to start and how to approach with things. There is so much that encompasses MS Care. I realize, and I always have, how lucky we are to have an opportunity to listen to so many professionals, but how many of them have MS? How many of them get what you're saying, or as some would put it, complaining about? I have my presentation actually in a different type of format, more of like sections, if you would. And I will stop at certain points to see if there's any questions or comments. And feel free to get paper and pen to write down anything. Let me start off by saying that I'm an occupational therapist. I've been an OT for almost 25 years. I've had the opportunity to work with a variety of people of all ages and numerous types of conditions. I also have MS. I've had MS for 14 years. I had to retire 6 years ago because of the MS, and it was progressing, and I wasn't able to physically take care of my responsibilities. But I can talk with you about many topics because of being a healthcare professional and being skilled as in the issues of MS and going through it. Managing MS is an ongoing process. I know so. I live it. I still work as an OT, and well, I volunteer for the society in numerous programs. I write articles. I volunteer for other organizations as well. But the MS is still going on. And the first thing I wanted to address is emotions. Caring for emotions, because that happens right away upon diagnosing. You know, someone tells you you have MS. Natural reactions are fear, concern, what's next? I mean, everything's going on. Or if you're having exacerbation, the same things are happening. The one thing that's important in addressing emotions is that that's normal. Emotions are necessary and natural to have. I mean, it's part of being human. If you know, that it's just a matter of what you do with these emotions. I want to express that it's okay to get mad, sad, frustrated, angry at any time, especially dealing with challenges that you might face. For some people, it's more often than others. And sometimes it's even harder for somebody who has relapsing remitting, for instance, and everything's been quiet, and all of a sudden something comes up, and they're going through an exacerbation. And that's when all these emotions haven't surfaced in a really long time, and then again, they're challenged by it. The disease is unpredictable. There's no two ways about it. But I share with you this. Life is unpredictable. Look around us. Look at what's going on and the things that people are dealing with now, finances and losing jobs and et cetera, et cetera. Everybody has stuff, whether it's relationships or you know, buying a new home or changing jobs. We all have stuff. For me, MS is my stuff. Right now, together, this is our stuff. It's a way of managing our stuff. It's a way of taking care of our MS. Life is always changing. Our MS is always going to change. The biggest issue is that I find from talking with people is fear. Fear of what's next, what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, some people get really frustrated. Well, I had such a good week, and I can't believe now it's the weekend, and I finally have something fun to do or the time to do it where I'm not working, and now I'm so fatigued, or my legs aren't moving the way that they, you know, they were all week. You know, did I wear them out? And then you get angry. And a lot of people are just afraid to do anything that, oh, it's going to make me tired, or people are going to look at me funny. You know, that's a really big issue. But what happens to those people, to people who are so afraid or so worried about what others will think or not engaging in an activity or participating really in life in any way that you can, is you miss out on today. You're so worried about tomorrow, you forget today. And I'm guilty of it. I've been there, done that. Like I said, I've been traveling through this journey for 14 years. I'm the type that at this point, I've had my ups and downs and way down, and that I'm, you know, you look at me and people go, oh, but you look so good. And some people cringe at that. And you're like, initially you're like, oh, if you only knew what I felt like inside. And now I'm thinking, I like hearing that, because the truth is I'd be really upset if someone came up to me and said, Susan, what's wrong? You look terrible. The truth is we make an effort every day, get out of bed. Well, thankfully, we choose what we're going to wear, the makeup or, well, the anything else that goes on in the preparation of the day, the hairstyle, the, whatever it is. We think about the car we drive. We think about, you know, using the cane, the assisted devices. That's a whole other issue of safety that we're going to address. But everyone's very worried about everybody else when you really need to take care of yourself and enjoy the moment. Times will be challenging, and that's okay. Instead of thinking about things where I can't, think about the things that you can do, or thinking of a way to do them differently. I've had to do that. I went from working in this rehab unit for 15 years as an OT clinician and then a manager to going on medical leave and sitting at home doing absolutely nothing. I had to change who I was. Well, not who I am. I'm still the same person. I had to change my goals, my expectations. And in doing so, sometimes you have to change the goals and the expectations of others. So if you come home from a busy day, whether it's work or even just socializing or maybe church activity, whatever, and you come home and then the family's expecting you to make dinner, it could get really frustrating. Well, again, change the expectations. And you can do so in communication and different ways, and we're going to be addressing that. So think of ways to do things differently. Think of what you can do. Think of, instead of what I can't. Live the moment. Live today. Look toward doing new things. For me, I didn't know what I was going to do with myself, literally. And then as I started to feel better and get the treatment and stuff, I started volunteering, and I've been with the society since. And it's been years, and it's been wonderful. And it's a different way to use my skills, my occupational therapy skills. A lot of times we have mixed feelings. It's one of those, you know, for the newly diagnosed, you're told, you're experiencing these weird things. You have no idea what's going on, and you think, oh, it's a tumor, it's this, it's that, I'm going crazy, you know. So, and then you get told you have MS, and then you're like, oh, good, now it's something. Now I know what it is. It's MS. Well, that's good. Oh, no, now I have MS. That's not so good. You know, so sometimes feelings can go one way or the other, or even get mixed. You have to be true to yourself. Remember, you are valued for who you are, not what you do. And that includes if there's something different about you. unfortunately, people are judgmental, but you shouldn't let that change you. That's the other person's situation. You're not responsible for the fact that, you know, if something comes up and you promise your significant other, say you were going to go to the office party and this happens to be a day of fatigue and you really just can't move, and, you know, that's not your fault. There are certain things that are going to be, that are out of your control and are going to be out of your control. Be direct. Be honest. Don't overcommit. Don't set yourself up to where you get into these situations. And it's important that you know that these feelings of fear, frustration, sadness, it's okay to cry. It's just a matter of to what extent is this going on. That's when you have to be aware of the medication you're on, the interferons, you know, has hazard, you know, the safety issues as far as depression and suicide. And you have to, you know, be aware of these feelings so that you can, even if you're not on the interferons, so that you can talk to your doctor and get counseling or maybe some medicine or both, or maybe just talking to a friend, confiding in people, confiding in family. You'd be surprised that when you communicate, it really does make a difference. So that on top of going through all these feelings, then you don't have to explain all these things to the other people, that they have an understanding. When you say, you know, if they see you're weepy, you can just say, I'm just not having a good day today. And you don't have to go into explaining it, because sometimes they just won't get it, especially with issues of pain. So caring for your emotions is one of the first things I wanted to address, because we have that issue with MS. It's a natural occurrence, and it can happen with MS where, you know, your emotions can be off a little bit too, and that's perfectly normal. The biggest thing you can do is, if things get out of control or if you have any questions, you can talk to your doctor to seek counseling or medication, or just talking to your doctor may make a difference in itself as well. Patty, I wanted to open it up, see if anybody had any comments to share real briefly with us or questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, if you have a question or a comment, please press 7 on your touch-tone keypad. Our first question comes from Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
Hi. I lost my husband, my caregiver, in March. And we were watching television, and he just stopped breathing. And I always expected to be the first one to go, but he went first, and I'm alone now. I've got a mortgaged house, and I've got all the utilities and everything else, and things have happened that are out of, well, they're just wild that has happened. And I don't know, well, I guess I got into a depression, and because it's been over 6 months now since he died. But
sorry.
I miss him. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a caregiver anymore, and I'm having to do all these things by myself.
Well, Shirley, I know that it's tough, and especially when, you know, here we talk about the unpredictability of MS, and I share with everybody the unpredictability of life, and I am so, so sorry that you have experienced this situation. And this is definitely something that, you know, you are not alone when it comes to having MS. There are support groups, there's telephone hotlines that are, supportive. The MS Society is a great support tool. They have social workers there for you. They may have a list in your local chapter of counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists that can help you with it, because you do need to, cope with this, because on top of dealing with multiple sclerosis, now you're dealing with your loss of your husband, your caregiver, your friend, the person who sits next to you in the family room watching TV, and that's totally acceptable in the sense of warranting additional help. There are some organizations that can possibly help you as far as getting things into services into your house. So addressing, personal issues, it's hard for me because of the time constraint, but call the MS Society and see what they can do to connect you to your local chapter and see if there aren't any ways that they can help get some assistance for you in the house, as well as some assistance as far as the mental health and support. Thank you, Shirley, for sharing such a personal story.
Our next question comes from Regina.
Hi, Regina.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay, thanks.
That's great. Well, I was just diagnosed probably about a year and a half ago, and I'm wondering, is there any benefit to going through physical therapy or some type of occupational therapy, even though you're not having any real deficit?
Well, actually, physical therapy, all that's coming up right now. So I just was addressing some questions about some emotions. So why don't I just go ahead and continue then with some additional information, and we're going to start with fatigue management, and it's going to address a lot of issues that, yes, physical therapy, occupational therapy is very good, as well as exercise. So let me just proceed further then at this time. Sorry, I have to sip along the way, but it's water, and you can trust me. Yeah, no, really. So we're going to talk about fatigue management, because that's really important in the care of multiple sclerosis. The truth is, fatigue is the most common symptom affecting 75 to 95% of people. And fatigue can be a lack of physical energy, mental energy, or both. A lot of people understand the physical energy. The mental energy, people are like, I don't get how do you get mental fatigue. Well, if you ever have problems, I can't think of the word. You're in the middle of a sentence. It's the end of the day. My kids want me to help them with their homework, and I'm like, that's fine. But after a certain time, forget about it, because I'm not going to be able to think things through. That's mental fatigue. If you're thinking through things, if you're working on things for your job or working on a crossword puzzle or things like that, that's, you can get mental lack of mental energy that way. Fatigue is unpredictable. It occurs suddenly. It typically happens later in the day. The impact can vary from I'm kind of tired, I'm going to sit and rest, and then you're good to go, to significantly impacting everything that you want to do and need to do every day, and of course everything else in the middle. The interesting thing about fatigue is happens to be one of the major reasons for unemployment. I thought it would be good to share the differences of fatigue. There's primary fatigue, which is directed to the disease itself. It's the short circuiting of the localized fatigue that happens because of the problems of the transmission of nerve impulses, because of the lesions that are located. The secondary fatigue is not caused by MS at all and is a result of the symptoms symptoms and trying to compensate. And there are numerous reasons why you can get secondary fatigue. One is weakness. And when you're working with a weak extremity, you have a tendency to get really tired because you're working really hard to move that right arm so that you can feed yourself or drive or, you know, sometimes do things you shouldn't do, like drive, or get dressed. And then also on the other side, which is not weak, it's your stronger side, well, what do you think is happening on that side? That's putting out extra energy. It's overcompensating. So it too is getting tired. So your weak side's working hard and it's making you tired. The strong side's overcompensating. It's making you tired. And that's when the weakness becomes a kind of a double whammy, if you would. And with weakness, it comes from a poor transmission. The problem is the messages are not traveling along the nerves. To get to the muscles. So you get the weakness. You can move your arm. It may be a little shaky or slow to move, and then the weakness comes in. And that's, physical therapy is one of the best things. Exercise, a lot of people, in the old days, I'm 45, I love saying in the old days, they used to say, no, don't exercise when you have MS. It's the worst thing you can do. Actually, it's one of the best things you can do for yourself. Why? It's going to increase your strength. You have a stronger side or a stronger part of the body. It's there. You can maintain that strength. You can increase that strength as well. It helps the weaker side get stronger. It helps your cardiovascular system, so therefore you can increase your endurance. Exercise helps with your range of motion so that you can open your hand totally versus just a little bit, or move your arms out forward or in. That's the range of motion. Exercise is a good thing. One thing with the exercise is it releases a natural protein called endorphins, and that's what gives you that natural high, if you would. The athletes refer to it, how they can finish a 20-mile marathon. I don't get it. I can barely do that on my scooter. And they call it a runner's high. Their endorphins kick in. Well, the endorphins are feel good, and that helps with your emotional state too. And I can tell you this. I've seen it with people with MS as a therapist. I've seen huge differences with people who have come in. They had an exacerbation, and they left the rehab unit at different time frames, and they were using a cane or a walker. Mind you, they don't stay in the rehab unit where I was for long periods of time. I can validate it for me. I started an exercise plan. I bought a home gym, and I'm swimming. And I am telling you, I feel better. My pain, it's helped me with managing my pain. Endorphins are natural painkillers. That's why the people out in the army, the guys and the girls out, they're fighting a battle and someone gets shot, but meanwhile they're still going at it. Well, that's because their endorphins have kicked in. So it's the body's natural pain. The only thing is this external factor called heat. Now, of course you'll be exercising and not overdoing it. You're not there to be a bodybuilder, or maybe you are, but you have to keep things realistic to your personal goals and the goal, and to what your body can do. You have the ceiling fan going on. It's nice and cool there, but as you exercise, your body core temperature rises. Now, heat alters nerve conduction. MS is a disease of altered nerve conduction. So again, here's our double whammy. We have a disease of altered nerve conduction. Heat alters nerve conduction. That's why when we're out doing something and we don't have MS, and you're working in your garden and or mowing your lawn, say, and you're getting hot, you're getting sweaty, you sit in the shade to cool off, that's a normal occurrence. Heat alters nerve conduction. And then you sweat, and what happens is you get dehydrated. The important thing in this case also is you have to stay hydrated. A lot of women drink iced tea. Tea and coffee are diuretics, so they're not going to help you retain the extra water that you need. You want to drink water. That's the best thing, or Gatorade or any drink like that, because hydration is very, very important. And, of course, you're going to think about the clothes that you're going to wear and such, whether you're exercising or whether you're doing anything during the day. Miami, I don't know where everybody's located, but I know the further up in the state you are, the cooler you are. Well, temperature-wise, that is. And when I go to do my errands or set up my doctor's appointments, I try to do things in the morning. It's not as hot, and it's easier for me to move around and get back in the car, and the car is not as hot as well. And so I plan my day accordingly for that. Some other external factors that impact fatigue has to do with sleep disturbances. If you don't sleep well, what do you expect your day is going to be like? Now, once in a blue moon, if you don't sleep well and whatever, it's not a problem. But we have issues of spasticity. Our legs are jumping at night, pain, going to the restroom, anxiety, depression, things on our mind is thinking. There's some medications like steroids. If you've ever had several days of steroid infusion, I can tell you one of the last things you're going to do, you may do, is sleep. People, I understand, are crawling up the wall, up and down the walls. I happen to have the total different reaction. I get steroids and it knocks me out. They don't know why. Hence, they have stopped giving it to me. But sleep is really important. And you want to look at the quality of sleep, not a little more than the quantity. And then, of course, as we're talking about medications, let's think about the medications that we take for our symptoms. May cause drowsiness. If you were to look at my cupboard, it's amazing I'm up during the day for the type of pills and the frequency that I take. And another external factor in dealing with fatigue. Sorry, it's late at night, and I guess I get a little fatigued. Is stress. The one thing that stress. The most important part that I find how stress makes such an impact in my MS is what it does to my mind. It keeps my mind thinking. They don't know why stress plays such an important role in the effects of MS. I mean, they have some ideas about hormones and such, but stress really can play a significant impact. One of the things stress does is release cortisol. This is just my personal thing. I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on TV. That was an old commercial for those older folks. Anyway, and stress alters nerve, stress releases cortisol. And cortisol is part of your body's natural chemistry, and it's at the highest in the daytime so that you can go on, and lower in the evening so that your melatonin can kick in and help you go to sleep. Well, and I'm sure some people are, you know, familiar with the melatonin and going to sleep and such. Well, your melatonin can't kick in if your cortisol is still going and your mind's still going. And that's where you get the interrupted sleep, the lack of quality sleep. And unfortunately, I do experience that, and more frequently than I'd prefer. But what I find helps is journaling. Write down, in your care of MS, there are so many factors, so many things that may be going on. Write them down and journal them for whatever period of time you want, for as much or as little information as you want, so that you can see what's going on. See what you do in a day. Are you so fatigued at the end of the day because of things that you do and you didn't even realize all that extra steps? I mean, did you really have to stop the drugstore, the grocery store on the way home after a really busy day? Couldn't you have ordered pizza? Things like that, just kind of thinking outside the box. Journaling is a great way to see what you're doing. It's also a great way to see if a treatment works, because in sharing the information with your doctor, the doctor might be able to prescribe some medications or prescribe some therapy, physical therapy, occupational therapy. Maybe you'll start yoga. I mean, there's so many things out there that can possibly help you with some of the situations that you face with spasticity. Great thing is stretching. That's the best thing you can do for stretching. Well, maybe you don't know how. Yoga is a great way to do it, or physical therapy is a great way to learn it. Share that information with your doctor. Keep journaling to see if it's working for you. And also monitor if something's too much or not enough. There are certain medications that help with fatigue. And you can write down how that's working for you as well. We can't remember it all. Sometimes we get so overwhelmed that when we go to talk to the doctor, we remember one or two things and then come home and go, I can't believe I forgot. And if you go with paper, and I also encourage going with someone else, you're able to give them the proper feedback that you need and the information that you need. Taking care of your day is really important. Managing yourself your day can help in the care of MS. Prioritize what you need to do during the day. We're going to talk about energy conservation techniques. If you prioritize what has to be done and learn to and realize that it's okay to say, I can't do this right now, or have someone else do it, it makes a big difference. There's no such thing as a super mom, a super dad, a super coworker, a super friend, or a super brother, a super sister. There's no such thing. You have to prioritize the things that you need to do, whether it's at home or at work, and leave it at that. Again, resetting goals, resetting expectations for yourself or perhaps of others. Plan ahead. Break down tasks as much as you can so that you don't tire yourself. And if there's a way that when you plan ahead, others can get involved. So if it is difficult for you to do a certain task or to do it alone, you can get other people to be involved. The one thing is communication. That helps in the care so much. A lot of people don't want to say things, and I totally understand them. Been there, done that. When I was working, hardly anybody knew. And I understand. I have to prove myself. I got into management, and I had to prove that, you know, I could do this without, you know, anybody knowing or whatever was going through my mind. But the truth is, I made it harder for myself. The more information you share with people, the better understanding they have and the better they can help you. Now I have my sisters and my friends call up, you know, I'm going to Costco, do you need anything? I'm like, Oh, if they only knew. I could give them a list of 20 items. I have them pick up one or two things, you know. Or your spouse or significant other or friend pick up dinner for you so you don't have to worry about it, or anything that you can. Communication is definitely a hot topic. A lot of questions I get as far as the workplace. Telling your boss, talking to your boss, well, you can tell him or her as much or as little as you want, but they can accommodate your needs. I spoke to my boss, and they were able to move my office closer to where the therapy rooms were, give me a parking spot by my building, because, you know, in hospitals, sometimes they have shuttle service. So communication is very personal. Only you can decide who you're going to talk to, what you're going to say, and how you're going to say it. But I will tell you, you'll be able to rely on others, and it can make a difference in your care. Even when your MS is quiet, you're still part of a team at home and at work and the community. It's important. It's important to learn your limits. People learn their limits through trial and error. What works? What doesn't? Well, I have so many stories to tell you about my personal trial and error. We could go on forever, but I will share this. You have to think about your safety. You have to think about resources. If you're going to go, let's say, to the mall, you're just getting over an exacerbation, you really don't want to start driving yourself there. Have someone drive you there so that you can walk around the mall. Again, set your limit to where you're going to go. Know of a place in your mind where you can sit, even inside a restaurant or a bench or a food court. Have that other person there. Use an assisted device. Safety is so important. People won't use a cane. I had to start using a cane when I was 36. And it was hard. I will not lie to you. It was hard. But it was even harder to try to walk around and try to endure the few things that I had left that I needed to do. And to this day, I still use a cane. It conserves my energy. It takes care of my safety. Balance is an issue. As soon as I put on shoes, my biggest issue right now is my right leg. I can walk around the house barefoot or in socks, not a problem. But as soon as I put on shoes, they're like lead weights. And then I have to go outside and walk in grass and up curbs and all that. No, I'm going to use a cane. Whether I need it today or not, in my mind, I'm going to use a cane. Because knowing me, once I get to the place, I'm going to need it to walk through the store. And, of course, we're going to walk through the store, and then we're going to stand in line at the checkout center, and then we have to drive home. So think of the big picture. Think of what you're going to have to do. Because it's not just, oh, I'm going to go pick up a tube of toothpaste. It's getting yourself up, dressed, ready, out, driving, parking, walking, going into the store, looking for the item, standing in line to check out, walking back to the car, and driving home. There's a lot. The key to any of this is to stop before overdoing it, because you certainly don't want to pay the consequence. Being aware of your weakness, issues of pain, issues of fatigue, be aware of when these occur. Is there certain things that trigger it off, or is it all the time? Because you want to not make things worse. There are certain things that no matter what you do, you're still going to feel it, and I understand that. But you, when you journal, you'll be able to see the things that might trigger off certain things that will make it easier for you to monitor. You want to make sure you schedule rest time. And rest time doesn't mean you need to take a two-hour nap. Or you can. You can go back to go to work tomorrow and say, hey, I was on a teleconference, and this girl, Susan, said, I need to take a two-hour lunch break. No, but I do encourage you to take your lunch break, not like me when I was working, and I would eat my yogurt and continue working. Take time off. Let your mind rest. Most importantly, let your body rest. Listen to your body. Pace yourself. Avoid overdoing it. Simplify things. One of the best things that you can do for yourself is to think of alternative ways to do things. When I serve for large groups, and large groups, I mean more than my party of four here in my family, I use paper and plastic because I don't want to have to deal with dishes. It's one of the easiest things. You can also get already prepared foods. I use meals all the time as examples because we have to deal with them every day. You can also have delivery or pickup service. Shopping. Shop online. Online shopping I've been doing for, it seems like a gazillion years, because it's hard for me to shop. You know, if I were to use my scooter, I can't get through the racks, and I have to stand up and down and up and down, or the walking. And, you know, online is great. And you find things you wouldn't typically find in stores. Start your holiday shopping now. They have great deals out there. And listen, Google and put in the store name, discount coupons for, and even if it's a funky store you just found online, you'll be surprised. You'll get some that'll pay for the shipping alone. And a lot of people, you know, people are like, well, what if you have to ship it back and it doesn't work or it doesn't fit? And I said, well, it's cheaper than the gasoline I'm going to be using trying to drive around to find, quote, the right gift, or the expense of the energy that I'd be doing as well. So some little tips on that. And rely on others. That's a really big deal, as I mentioned before. You don't want to feel like everything's your responsibility. I don't care if the past 25 years they did Thanksgiving at your house, you cooked the turkey, you did everything. No, that's not going to happen. Not if you have issues of fatigue. Not if you have issues of weakness or standing issues or whatever it is. This is 2009. Everyone can bring a dish. Everyone can play a party. You know what? People are happy to do that. Then some even like it. Then they don't feel like it was all, you know, a burden for the person offering to do the dinner. So just an example for that. So we talked about heat and weakness and therapy and fatigue management. Patty, I'd like to open the floor to any comments or questions.
I would like to remind everybody, if you have a question or comment, please press 7. Our next comment comes from Lynette.
Hi, Lynette. Lynette?
Our next question comes from Alberta.
Hi, Alberta.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. Can you speak up just a little bit? It's hard for me to hear. I'm getting old.
Me too. Very old.
What would you like to share with us today?
I wanted to ask a question because I was diagnosed with it in 2000. And never heard of it and thought it was a joke. And until I started getting way off balance and stuff and couldn't walk straight and messed around and waited till a year to really take it seriously and get on therapy. And by that time, I had really started having problems in walking. Now, I use a walker. But what I wanted to ask was, in with the pain, I take beta serum, but I'm constantly having severe pain. What kind of medicine besides my beta serum, for something for pain, the doctor gives me Darvocet.
Mm-hmm.
to take.
Well, the beta serum's not going to help you for pain. All those disease-modifying drugs, Avonex, beta serum, Copaxone, and Rebif, they're to slow the progression of MS.
Right.
Okay? There are many different types of medication to help manage pain. Sometimes it's trial and error. For me, actually, I've been on antidepressant for pain because they find that a drug that works for one thing seems to work for another thing for MS patients or arthritis or all these different diagnoses. So I've been on antidepressants. I've been on, I'm not telling large amounts, anticonvulsions, that's seizures. I don't have seizures, mind you. Anti-anxieties, and I've had to try all these numerous different things to help with the pain, and Neurontin, and all these, you know, you have to play it by ear as far as the pain management. Relaxation techniques help a lot. I learned meditation. That helps a lot. Exercise, stretching. Stretching is wonderful. And exercise really has made a big difference in my pain.
Our next question comes from Angela.
Hi, Angela.
Hi. I was just calling because I am a single parent of a six-year-old son, and I relocated to a small town coming from Delaware to South Carolina, and my support system is really not good. I have my parents are 65, and they're like in another world.
Yeah.
They're just not, you know, I have one parent that's like in the 1950s, and then my dad, he is on board with it, but he has prostate cancer.
I've been thinking about moving.
Yeah, it's been rough. I've lived here the whole entire year, but I've been thinking about relocating back because I think I could do a little bit better. But I think I need to talk to someone because I'm, like, very depressed. And, you know, I think I'm doing all the right things. I take yoga. I eat the green leafy vegetables. I exercise, swim.
Yeah.
But it's my support system thing.
Yeah. I giggle because I know exactly. I've been, like I said, not only do I know this information, I live it and lived it, and I totally understand. And with insurances, there are certain people that you can see, and by calling up your insurance, and seeing who's local, or if you don't know the number to the local MS Society chapter, you can call the 800 number, and it's 1-800-FIGHT-MS, and ask them for the local chapter because they have listings of doctors and counselors and, you know, people in your area. I also can share with all of you that I participate in a hotline called MS Friends. It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And you can call any time, and every person you talk to has MS. We're all volunteers. We don't offer any medical information, but we can talk through certain situations. I can share with you that number. It's 1-866-MS-FRIENDS. 1-866-673-7436. Again, it's 1-866-MS-FRIENDS. And that's a support hotline. I know a lot of people have, you know, issues and need somebody to talk to, you know, other than perhaps not needing psychiatric assistance at this time, but just someone to talk to who gets it. And everyone on the phone, like I said, has MS and will understand what you mean and can help you.
Our next question comes from Regina.
Hi, Regina.
Hi again. How are you?
Good.
I know you were talking about the fatigue, because, I mean, that's not helpful to me, that what you were talking about, because sometimes I am very tired, and I know I'm anemic, too, and I was like, man, maybe I need to take my iron. But,
maybe, maybe. If you're anemic, you need to take iron.
I know. I've been tired some, too. But I've noticed also, like, with me, I can't really take showers. I normally just take baths, because when I'm overheated, you know, I'll get some pseudo-exacerbation. I mean, is there a way I could possibly reintroduce myself back to the shower life?
Of course. You get yourself a patio, plastic patio chair.
Okay.
So that you can put that in the shower. You get a handheld shower hose, and you get, a lot has to do with the temperature of the water. So please turn down the temperature of the water so it's just warm enough to be comfortable, but not hot enough to steam up the bathroom. So it's a shower chair. You can also buy what's called a shower chair in a equipment supply store. They come with backs. They come without backs. They come with arms. They come without arms. The handheld shower hose. You can put a grab bar on the side. Make things simple. Soft soap is easier. You know, the liquid soap is easier than the bar soap for some people, especially if you keep dropping the bar of soap and you have to go down and pick it up. Have things nearby. Have a little caddy so that everything's just right there within reach. And, you know, are you the type that has to wash your hair every day? Well, maybe don't. Maybe change it to every other day. Or if you shower in the morning, maybe that's too much for the time for all that you do for the day, and shower in the evening or vice versa. I mean, play around with the timing as well. Those are some ways to get back into the shower.
Our next question comes from Lynette.
Hi, Lynette.
Hey, my phone went on mute.
Oh, you were the one. Yeah, I'm like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, my phone went on mute. I heard you, you know, you talked about some of the things, like the cane and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was in more denial when I was diagnosed with it in 2004. Now 2009, I started taking medicine again. But I try to, you know, my legs hurt me a lot, but I try to, like, walk on the cane. I walk faster than the cane. Then I said, oh, my God, I don't need to be on this cane. I'm walking faster than the cane. I don't know if I, you know, I try to take my time, but, you know, I used to be a cook.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, I used to move real fast. And it seemed like when I go, like when I walk, I walk or something like that, I'm off balance. So I really don't do nothing now. I exercise. I'm just starting to exercise. But
no,
I really don't do nothing now, you know, and I hate that because I was always active and working, but I don't do nothing now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you need to make sure that you get out. Even just going on the floor and doing some leg exercises. Therapy is always good. You can always turn on the TV and they have exercises in the chair. Get your doctor to write a prescription for physical therapy. Sometimes it just takes a session or two the first one's always going to be an evaluation, but then they can do some things with you in the clinic and then give you some suggestions at home. Exercising, you know, if weakness in the arms, you can pick up a couple cans of can of soup in each hand and go walking and bending your arms, and the soups, you know, they're not, if they fall, they won't break, but, you know, you can. But they do have weight to it. There are things that you can definitely do around the house that you want to stay active and you want to stay stronger. I, too, use the cane, and I will tend to walk quicker and it will be a little more tiring sometimes, but that's just, we have to learn about that.
Our next question comes from Ed.
Hi, Ed.
Susan, let me congratulate you for your clarity, your courage, and your decency. Thank you. My question is this. I wonder how emergency rooms treat relapsing remitting multiple sclerosis, because my wife was not admitted a couple of months ago with difficulty breathing and with a symptomatology that was pretty obvious. Can you comment?
What was the beginning of that?
The beginning was to congratulate you on your
clarity.
Oh,
I got that part. Oh, yeah. You can say that three more times. No, but I meant...
Okay. Considered.
I just meant at the beginning of the question.
My wife, Christine, who was diagnosed in February with relapsing remitting, has been on Copaxone for about 4 months, and within a month of the onset of her diagnosis, we went into the emergency room because she was having body weakness and a failure to breathe regularly. Mm-hmm. And they treated her in the emergency room as if she was a cold victim. Mm. You know, I wonder how you feel as an occupational therapist how hospitals ought to treat MS on admission.
Well, a lot of people don't even know enough about MS. And I can tell you as an OT, although I worked as an OT for 15 years, I would get people who, you know, a new patient, and it says diagnosis MS, increased range of motion, strength, coordination, and precaution, avoid fatigue. I didn't know what that meant in the sense of MS fatigue. We have to serve as educators. And when I say communicate to other people so they understand what you need and they can have a better understanding of what's happening to you, it is so true because the MS fatigue is different than everyday fatigue. And it's so hard to explain it. And unless you have MS, you just don't get it sometimes. But we try to educate. Don't even get me started with the hospital thing, because we have issues here in Miami where we have to wait 2 hours to be seen. I hope some places are getting more proficient in the signs and symptoms of MS and treating certain things. The important thing is if you're going to go to a hospital, make sure there's a second person with you. Always have a list of your medications handy. That's really, really important. Everybody. I don't care if it's two things on it. I don't care if it just says Copaxone on it. You know, that's really important to take with you so that they know what's on it, so you don't have to stop and think about it, or your spouse or your sister or anybody else. That alone could be an issue because they go to treat it, and then what if it, you know, counteracts with other things. So, yeah, the hospital issue is definitely an issue. And, Patty, how about one last question? I see we're running out of time.
Our last question comes from Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
Hello.
I've had MS since 1990. I was diagnosed with relapsing remitting, and since then I've progressed to secondary progressive. But I'm kind of backtracking to what you were originally talking about, emotions. Mm-hmm. And I'm a registered nurse by profession, and most of my background is in psychiatric nursing. But I have a lot of problems with mood swings. My husband just got off the phone, so it's really been a problem. And I'm on antidepressants, two antidepressants, but I just feel like I'm what they would call a rapid cycler, because I'm crying a lot, and you know, and I'll feel real strongly about a certain situation, whatever it may be, and mm-hmm. then maybe the next day or hours later, I'm like, you know, I don't in my mind, I'm thinking, why did I react like that?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
the nice thing is the doctor's aware of it. You're being treated medically for it. What do you do for you?
What do I do for me?
Yeah, for everybody listening on the phone, what do you do, and, you know, specifically with you, what do you do for you?
I'm not sure I understand.
For pleasure, for rest, for your you time, and keep it clean.
Basically, the only thing I really do for me is I enjoy reading my Bible when I go to bed at night.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to where I don't know what being happy or getting pleasure is.
Well, that's just it. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in whatever the situation is. Some things are beyond our control, hence the medicinal intervention or, assistance by a professional. But other times we get so wrapped up that we forget to take time for us. I love music. I'll tell you that. I started to teach myself how to play the guitar. I'm not very good at it, but I have fun.
Yeah.
And that's just it. Don't forget about fun. Don't forget life is going on. And I know I've been there. I've been down on the bottom. I am now secondary progressive, they've told me. I have done Avonex, Rebif, Copaxone, Betaseron, 3 chemotherapies, IVIG, steroids. I've done it all. They have now told me there's nothing else for me.
Have you done the Tysabri?
No. They said I'm not a candidate because I don't have relapsing or remitting. But my point is this, and I'll close on this, is that I've learned that vitamins are important. I got my vitamins checked for vitamin D and B12. I'm not preaching vitamins at all. That's my disclaimer. Since they say there's nothing else they can do for me, I have to make sure I take care of me. And I exercise, whether it's a little bit or different ways, every day. If I'm getting in a funky mood, I'll turn on certain music and listen to either classic rock, or if I really just need to cry and get it out, I'll turn on something just to let my emotions go. Or, I'll sit outside. I'll do whatever I can. And it's just a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Just to break the whole cycle of what's going on that's around us that we can't control. There are so many things that we can control, and you have to remember that. And again, it's reevaluating. It's resetting goals. And don't lose track of who you are. MS does not define you, and it never will. You are still who you are, and you just need, everybody needs a little fun. Everybody needs a little pleasure, even during the difficult times,
Mm-hmm.
A good laugh or two. And I wanted to hit some notes on the impact of laughter, because I do a presentation annually for the society, and it's very good and very funny, at least I think so. But I try to have a good time. And I really enjoyed having this opportunity to talk with you all, and I thank you on behalf of the National MS Society, and thank you for letting me sit in for Ms. Merka, and I hope you all have a great evening.
I would like to thank everyone for attending this evening's Multiple Sclerosis teleconference.